Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to another episode of The Power of Prayer. I am yours truly, Apostle Keegan Leger, greeting you in divine love and saying welcome to the broadcast on today. I'm currently filling in for Prophetess Williams just for this week. She will return on next week. So on this week, we're going to get into the root of bitterness. If any time you would like to call in, the number is 347-324-3622. Again, 347-324-3622. Or if you have any topic requests, you may talk to the woman of God personally by messaging her at Patricia Williams on Facebook, or you can message her via email at gmail.com. Amen. On today, with getting to the root of bitterness, we're going to first look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter, starting at the 14th through the 15th verse. And it's a very, very familiar passage of scripture that we're looking at. Give me 1 second. The enemy busy messing with my internet today. One second, people of God. Bible says in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, starting at the 14th through the 15th verse, it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So it to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. On today, when we look at the word root, we look at the root of bitterness. Bitterness blows out the candle of joy and leaves the soul in darkness. We understand now what Hebrews says, because you have to follow peace with all men, and without that and holiness, no man will see the Lord, according to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. We fail at the grace of God when we commit ourselves to be bitter and to have an issue with somebody else that we refuse to let go. So it's very imperative that we understand how detrimental bitterness can be at this time. First thing we're going to look at is the germination of bitterness. In other words, how did it start? The seed of bitterness is a hurt that is planted in someone. It may be intentional or unintentional. Someone does not mean to hurt you, but you were hurt. And some people meant to hurt you. That's why they hurt you. Sometimes the hurt is only imagined in some cases. Now, as we look at that, sometimes no one has to hurt you, but somehow you feel that someone has done something wrong to you. They are also times when they hurt, when the hurt may be the very chastisement God is actually setting up for you in order to get you where you need to be. Because sometimes we hurt and we have issues with people, but unfortunately, we already have hurt and bitterness stored up, and we use what we think somebody else done to us to figure out what we need to figure out. So the soul of bitterness is a heart that harbors hostility and does not deal with hurt by the grace of God. Now, when someone becomes bitter, the bitterness takes root in the heart and grows deeper. And we understand that because we've all been there where we've allowed something to sit and fester and it has grown. And really, it wasn't that big to begin with. Look what it says. The world is full of people who have not dealt with an old hurt. They look for things to criticize, people to find fault in, and ways to justify the way they feel. Now, my question is to you out there in Radio Land, have you ever seen people who are hypocritical? In other words, when I say hypocritical, have you ever seen people who actually are so picky and tedious about how they analyze people or how they try to figure things out till they end up hurting themselves? Well, I don't like the way she walked when she walked past me. I don't like the way she looked when she looked past me. People are gone, that's a spirit. And that is the enemy using you to find something wrong so that you can hold and harbor animosity and hostility, which gives birth to bitterness. Because you hold on to something. So that's why it's very important that you don't allow the enemy to trick you at this given time about the root of bitterness itself. Generally, people like that are bitter people. They know how to push your hot buttons until you react in a way to further justify their bitterness. Then they can say, see, I was right. I have a right to be bitter. It's the same way, like, so when you deal with people who aren't saved or who doesn't go to church. They are the exact same way. They do not. People are looking for a reason not to serve Christ, or they're looking for a reason not to get it right. So the moment you turn around and you do something wrong, and you're going to do something wrong because you're human, but the moment you do it, They turn around and say, uh-huh, see, they wasn't who they say they was. So that's why it's for us to understand that we are human, but there's people always looking over our shoulders that want to turn around and have an excuse and a reason not to do what they want to do in Christ. Next thing is the root of bitterness. I'm sorry, the devastation of bitterness. We have learned about the seed and the soil of bitterness. Now, let's look at the root and the fruit of bitterness, which is found in Hebrews, the 14th chapter, what we talked about. The root of bitterness. The root of bitterness is actually underground. Any seed starts underground or within. It is easy to hide and to cover up. Many times, you find anyone who will admit that they are a bitter person. Who wants to actually admit, people of God, that they are a bitter person and that they have issues that they refuse to deal with? Who are you going to actually see that? Especially Christians, because some Christians are very bitter. And they do not want to tell you the truth about themselves. And they for sure are not going to issue when they have an agenda that constantly pushes that you have a problem and they don't have a problem. That's why it's very imperative if you save or, you know, you say you know God, it's very important that you get to the place where you understand that you have issues, you've had issues, and you're going to have issues, and you cannot skirt around it. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you intercede. I don't care how much you lay on the floor. I don't care how much you take people laying hands on you and you fall out. It doesn't matter. You're going to have issues. And because you're going to have issues, that's just human. That's just human nature. And that's just live and where you're living. So don't supersede yourself to think that you are never going to have issues, because Christians got to pray for bitterness too. We have to pray that stuff doesn't offset. Christians deal with church hurt. They deal, you know, with loved ones leaving them, abandoning them, saying that they been brainwashed and camouflaged and this and that and the whole nine yards. So it's very important that they understand that. So we have to get to the root of bitterness for everyone. Now, Christians who are that way going to deny to you. They are actually going to deny to you that they have an issue. A bitter person is hypersensitive, ungrateful, insincere, holds grudges, and has mood swings. Now, let's look at that word, hypersensitive. As I think about it, hypersensitive. When someone is hypersensitive, they easily get offended. Hey, how you doing? I'm good. How are you? You tell me. What you mean you tell me how I'm doing good? Was this or whatever that? And how many people we know that are like that? So let's look at this more in deep detail. The fruit of bitterness will affect you physically, emotionally, and spiritually, because the fruit of bitterness is an acid that destroys its container. When your heart is bitter, God will not be real to you. And people don't realize that when you harbor hostility and you're bitter, God really isn't who he says he is to you, because you understand that God is a God of love and he's a God of peace. So you don't. There's no way you can have animosity, God, and peace under the same umbrella. Why, you might say? Because people who are hateful but say they're holy do not dwell in the same heart. And without holiness, the Bible say we ain't going to see the Lord. So if we don't live holy and we don't live holy our whole life and think we're going to see the Lord due to bitterness or whatever it is, people, God, we only fooling ourselves. And next thing we're going to get into is how to diminish bitterness. And there's three steps that I want to look at, and I promise you it's going to bless you. The number one I was thinking about was let God reveal it. Sometimes people might tell you, I know my heart, there's no bitterness in me. Truth be told, though, you don't know your heart. God's word tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So how can you really know your heart? A deceitful heart cannot diagnose a deceitful heart. You need to let God, the Holy Ghost, and all three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, do radical surgery. What's sad is that people who deal with these type of issues want to be judged, they want to be jury, and they want to be executioner over their own life. And the thing that bothers me most with people who are bitter like this, that's why they never get delivered, because they never admit it and they never allow it to be revealed. One thing I know, and I know for a fact, is when you became saved and you became sanctified, and let's look at that word real quick, sanctified, because that's the middle conclusion of, that's the middle part of the whole matter. Sanctification is realizing that you've been dirty in order to be clean. So if you never admit that you have an issue for you to be clean, then you ain't gonna never be clean. And that's what a lot of Christians miss. Well, I don't have nothing wrong with me. No, baby, you are bitter. You do have a funky attitude. You do hold hostility. You do have issues. And it's things you do not want to address, because that's going to clean up, that's going to tear down the persona that you actually do have an issue and you actually do have a problem. And that's what a lot of Christians miss. We worship with Christians every Sunday inside of the house of God. And these Christians lift their hands. They worship. You know, they lift their hands before the Lord. They pray. They worship. They serve in ministry. They serve in church. They do the whole nine yards. But inwardly, they have a very bad stench to them, because have a very bad stench to them because they actually are bitter and they have a seed inside of them that they never have dealt with and refuse to deal with because they feel that nothing is wrong with them. So let's look at the second one. The second one I came up with is let grace reveal it. Now we said let God reveal it. The next one is let grace reveal it. And a response to bitterness is never right when someone has done something wrong to you. You need to ask God to forgive you, and he will be his grace. It will be by his grace that you will get forgiveness. If somebody has done you wrong, cut it down and forget it. Now, I know that sounds so easy. If somebody done you something wrong, cut it down and forget it. But I've learned in life it's so easy to forget it than to hold on to it and let it grow and become bitterness. We've all been there where we have that famous saying in the world today, I'm a forgive, but I'm never going to forget. Problem with that is that when you don't forget, you're really not forgiving because you're allowing your heart and your mind to connect and saying that every time you see this person, every time you think about this person, every time you have even a smidge of thought about this person, you're going to look at them and you're going to say, oh, I remember when so-and-so done this to me and remember when so-and-so done this, done that to me. That's why it's so important that you cast down every imagination and every denomination that tries to cast itself against the knowledge of God. So you have to be very, very mindful about what you allow to take root from your heart to your mind and from your mind to your heart. The next one is let God replace it. Remember, our text said in the 14th verse of chapter 12, it said, follow peace with all men and holiness. First of all, we ain't going to never get to the holiness part if you don't learn how to follow peace. Now, listen, you won't be able to follow peace with men, with everybody, but if you put your flesh inside of it, you won't. But you're able to follow peace with all men if you understand the golden rule. Love covers a multitude of sin. You're not going to like everything people do. You're not going to like everything people say. You're not going to like what people feel. But as a Christian, it's important for you to look at people with God's eyes and not your eyes. Because remember, your eyes and your thought process and no value according to what God says and what we're supposed to do. Do you understand what I'm saying here tonight? Again, if you would like to call in, the number is 347-324-3622. Again, the number is 347-324-3622. Now, we understand follow peace with all men and holiness, which no man shall see the Lord. People, God, you can't be holy unless you follow peace with men. It is worth it when you forgive, but us as people, as human beings, we like to say, look what they've done. I am not going to let them off the hook. Well, they are not on the hook. You are. When you forgive, you set two people free, and one of them is yourself. And you might say, well, how you set two people free? You set them free for doing what they do wrong, and you set you free for turning around and forgiving them for what they've done wrong so you don't carry it around with you. That's why it's so important that you don't play allow to be played inside of that trick of the enemy that says, forgive but never forget. Because that is a trick of the enemy and a trick of the world that people have built up that really they're not forgiven. Because you're still remembering, you're still harboring. Your mind is a harbor deck. And inside of it is going to keep, it's going to remember and is going to hold record of what you've done wrong. When people used to do me something wrong and I had to ask God to forgive me and forgive them, I used to tell God when I would pray, Lord, please allow me to do what they're wrong like you did with my sin and help me to throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. Because when I throw it in the sea of forgetfulness, number one, I know I ain't going in there and swim and go get it anymore. So that's how you got to learn. Now, am I saying people who do you wrong, always just let them slide and always trust them because you never know, you know, when you're going to need somebody? Like, and that's what human nature says. No, I'm not saying, you know, that you always got to trust. You always got to trust people who thieve or always got to trust people who lie, but you still have to give them a certain continuity to look at them the way God looks at them, because that's our duty as a Christian if you really are saved. That's our duty to look at them like that. We have to extend mercy because who we show mercy on, he'll show mercy on. And that goes from you to me and from me to you with people as well. Look what it says. You will discover that your life will be more joyful when you uproot the bitterness. If God gave us justice, every person reading this would die and go to hell. Now, we honestly, because if God would hold on to stuff the way we hold on to stuff, let's be honest, we all would die and we would go to hell. But thank God for his mercy that removes his hand of punishment from us. And praise God for his grace that gives us a brand new life. Because when you are holding on to bitterness, people of God, you're not free. You are honestly bound and seized up. And we honestly are shipwrecked, like ships without a sail. So we have to thank God for the root that he has allowed to come into us. I mean, the root that he has allowed us to be healed from. Because without it being healed, it'll never get clean. That's why it's so important. Like the word of the Lord says, create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit so that I may worship thee better, so I may know thee better, so I may understand thee better, so I may get to the heart and mind of God better. David was a man who understood the heart of God and knew how to deal with his heart. He ain't knew how to deal well with all his other body parts. And we know that from the word of God that he wasn't good with his other body parts. But what I thank God about was that the Bible tells us throughout the Psalms, and it tells us through other sections of the Bible that David had God's heart in mind. And we have to learn how to have God's heart in mind when it comes down with how to deal with people, and it comes down to how to deal with certain situations. Because when we learn how to have the heart of God by us being clean and by us being diligent, then we'll understand how everything operates inside of our life, and we'll understand ultimately the heart and the mind of God. Now, some of you might be out there today and saying, I heard all that in deep detail. I heard, you know, how it feels. You know, I heard what the Bible says. I heard how that feel. I heard how this feel. But what measure or what would it take for you to still forgive if you don't feel you have anything wrong? People, God, number one, if you don't want to admit you have a problem, nothing will never get clean. So you have to search yourself. We have to almost do like the old song says, search me, Lord. Search me. Shine the light from heaven, from above. And then the song they used to sing is saying, if you find anything not right in me, take it out, because I just want to be saved. I want to be right, and I want to be whole. So that's why it's very important. If you really desire to be in the heart and the mind of God, if you really desire to do right, you have to ask God to constantly search you and clean you up. And remember, David said, create in me a clean heart, and renew within me the right spirit. Because when you have a root of bitterness, you're not in the right spirit, and you're not authorized to worship God and operate in holiness. So you have to ask him to create in you a clean heart and renew within you the right spirit so that you may worship him better. And always remember, he's the potter. You're the clay. And when the potter puts the clay together, it's put together. But when we try to play the potter, all we end up making is yard furniture. So remember what I'm saying here tonight about the root of bitterness, getting to that root of bitterness. So I hope that somebody was helped tonight as we search this topic in deep detail. And we will be back on next week at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we thank God for Prophet Williams for doing this broadcast and allowing it to go on in her absence. So we'll be back at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on next week. Everybody have an awesome week, and God bless you all.